Welcome in to the Devi Devotional Podcast, a show devoted to all things Devi and C2C. Hosted by John Arrington and Aaron Wilcox, this dynamic duo brings you actionable strategies with player-driven analysis for your Devi and C2C leagues. Let's dive in.
Let's dive into the running backs tonight. I'm your host, Dynasty Coach A, joined as always by Aaron Wilcox at AaronWilcox86. And this is the Devi Devotional, where we stay devoted to Devi. And tonight, like I said, we're going to be talking about the Devi running back situation. Like, what the hell's going on? It seems like we have some names coming out of nowhere. Some freshmen that like no one truly was talking about before the season. We have big name players that everyone was talking about before the season that have completely fallen off the face of the planet and everything in between. So we're going to try to attack that tonight because I feel like I always listen to a lot of podcasts, and I like to get different feedback from different people, like listening to how everyone feels about Devi and certain players and whatever else. I feel like everyone's kind of avoiding the running backs right now because it's just like, what the hell do you do? But I feel like that's our job to figure out what we do here, what our listeners do here. So that's what we're going to do tonight. But first, how are you doing, Aaron?
Hey, I'm doing well, and I have had some similar experiences recently with running back valuation and trades just all over the place. A lot of people just devaluing the position in general, both on the NFL and the college side. And then there's also some guys who just, they love their guy. They really are overinvested or just overconfident in a specific running back, and they're like, no, I won't trade him for anything. And it doesn't make a lot of sense given the volatility right now in the non-elite options. And even some of the elite or top-end options right now are not looking as good as maybe we expected. And we'll get into that tonight. But yes, very interesting position. RB position is always fun as it's ever-evolving, changing, and it's quick to do so.
Absolutely. So I think one of the players that was basically the RB1 for most people going into the season was Nicholas Singleton for Penn State. I never had him there, and this isn't a victory lap or anything like that. I always wanted to see, you know, I said before the season or maybe like shortly after the season had started, like I just wanted to see him grow into a full-time workhorse running back before I put him there at one. And he just didn't quite have the receiving game. Obviously, everyone said, oh, he's a special athlete, stuff like that, blah, blah, blah. It hasn't really translated this year. And if anything, you know, I'd always been a little higher on Catron Allen than you were. And now we're starting to see where Nicholas Singleton's kind of coming down a little bit. Catron Allen's kind of coming up a little bit. Have you, not to say that you're ranking them back-to-back or anything like that, but have you seen them come a little closer to each other, or are you still sitting there with Nick Singleton, RB1 in the class, like that kind of thing, or is he falling off a little bit?
Yeah, in the 2025 class, I still have him that way, and the biggest reason for that is because he seems to be showing improvement A, as a receiver, and then B, you would think that the efficiency coming down, especially on the rushing end, would make us concerned. But then you look at the offensive line, it's like, wow, that whole team is just struggling. Like, their offensive line is so bad, and you watch them and they're getting blown up. The fact that Catron Allen is slightly better as far as efficiency goes this season, I think we've all recognized since Catron Allen went through that freshman season, like, he's a talented rusher. Is he an NFL caliber athlete? You know, that's to be determined, I guess, at the end of the day. We all know Nick Singleton's verified athleticism. That's going to show up here at some point. He's flashed, but some of the breakaway runs that he's had this season, they've been like for a, you know, 5-yard touchdown or something, you know, something like that, where it would have been a 70-yard touchdown had it been, you know, further down the field. So there has been a little bit of bad luck as far as if you're just looking at the efficiency this season between the line and again, those circumstances. So by no means do I blame anybody if they're going to move him down just slightly or if they want to move somebody ahead, but he's just still worthy for me because you look at the 2025 running back class and Quinshon Judkins has struggled quite a bit as well. And I know he had a get right game this last week, which was very nice to see. But at the end of the day, I still think that the 25 class is fine. They haven't necessarily blown up as a whole this year, though.
Yeah, absolutely. And actually, Catron Allen's kind of fallen off for me as well. So it's not even really a matter of like one of them's doing better than the other. It just seems like, I don't know whether it's the rushing offense, the offensive line, like you said, or what. I don't really know. Maybe they don't need to rely on the running game as much with Drew Allar there. And so that, you know, they're trying to let him throw a little bit more. I don't know exactly what it is, but I mean, they both have fallen off. Singleton has not fallen like far for me. If anything, it's more that other players have taken a step forward even more so than him necessarily falling off or anything like that for me. But I mean, actually one of those players, and we'll see if you agree here, this might be like the first shock of the night. And they're essentially tied. So, I mean, and obviously, like, it's still pretty early in the season. So this could easily change. But Damien Martinez is looking pretty damn good in his second year. And, you know, like, I really don't know that I would have him either far off of Singleton right now or really anything like that. Is that blasphemy? Or do you think that that's, you know, there's something understandable there?
Well, I mean, I do think that's really bold. And that's forward thinking for sure, because I don't think most people are there yet, or they're not even, you know, contemplating that. So I think to most that would be blasphemy. I happen to be a Damien Martinez fan. I can't remember if we talked about the trade that I had this offseason. It was Bryson Nesbitt, I think, and I traded him for Damien Martinez, I'm pretty sure.
Ooh, wow.
And there might have been like a little pick swap, but it was nothing significant. And, you know, I've always liked him. And sometimes you get lucky, right? You get a guy for cheaper than probably what he should have went for. But at the end of the day, he is just a guy that I'm very interested in general, was interested going into the season because you could really see him get unleashed. And you know, the funny thing about Damien Martinez thus far this season, he's had a ton of touchdowns vultured away from him, from DJU. Like, he could have double what he currently has.
Yeah, he has two. Crazy. Two touchdowns right now.
Yeah, he's due for regression there, especially if
or at least DJU, two rushing. I don't know if he has receiving, yeah, but he has two rushing touchdowns.
Yeah, so, I mean, the guy has been very good this season. At the end of the day, I want to see maybe the tougher competition down the stretch here, see how that looks. And his athletic testing, again, is just he's probably more in that like Catron Allen range as far as athletes go versus a Nick Singleton or even like a Quinshon Judkins. So that is my one knock. I actually have Damien Martinez. I moved him up to 3 right now in that 25 class after Singleton and then Judkins. But at the end of the day, I mean, he's a riser and we have a ways to go till the 25 class. So I could see it for sure.
Yeah. And you know me, I'm always going to go to the big time run rate whenever you talk about any kind of athleticism or anything like that. And I mean, I want to say I would have to go look at last year's stats, but I want to say he was like 7-8, maybe even 8% big time run rate last year. Now he's sitting at a 9%. And that is the combination of last year and this year. So, you know, we're getting, even if, I mean, he's probably doing more of like a 10% this season. You know, if he's actually growing that way overall. So it seems like he is breaking off those big plays and all that kind of stuff. Obviously, that doesn't 100% equate to athleticism, but, you know, I generally think that, like, you're not gonna have big time runs like that, at least on a regular basis, if you don't have some sort of athleticism. And, you know, we know these guys can work out harder, do whatever, and grow as athletes. And so we can't always trust everything from high school and freshman year and all that kind of stuff.
Yeah, I agree for sure.
All right. So, I mean, we've been basically talking about the 25 class here. I guess, like you said, we can touch on Quinshon Judkins. It was looking pretty rough there for a little bit. You know, staying with the 25 class, but this past week he said he felt better after the Alabama game. He seemed better during the Alabama game, and then he comes out and just looks like a complete stud again against what, LSU. And so LSU their defense did not quite show up to that game. However, Judkins did actually look pretty damn good. So were you starting to get concerned? Are you feeling better about Judkins? Are you still, I know you weren't, because you kind of had similar concerns to maybe Martinez or whoever, like with Judkins, not necessarily the best athlete or anything like that, even though I've sent you some, because, you know, I've always been a big fan. So I sent you some blurbs like, hey, he hit, you know, 22 miles per hour here and so on and so forth.
Yeah. And I think that some of my concerns may be vindicated as far as just, yeah, the lack of big plays this season. I mean, his longest rush is 37 yards on the season. And Judkins, again, it's never been that he's a bad athlete. It's just like some of the claims that like he's way more athletic than like a Nick Singleton, I just thought were kind of unfounded. Besides, I mean, you can't say completely unfounded because he was fast on the field, at least on the one play last season that was calculated out to be, what, 22 miles per hour, I think that was. At the end of the day, Quinshon Judkins is still a guy I like. I've always had him as a top-end asset in the 2025 class. So, yes, I mean, you're starting to get a little bit concerned. Like, is there something more injury-wise that he's dealing with? I guess that's more the concern versus is he just suddenly bad? Because you don't come out and run for like almost 1,600 rushing yards, outproduce Zach Evans, who's been a very good college back, be involved as a receiver, as a true freshman for an SEC team, without being a good player. So ultimately, I'm glad he's starting to get it right, and maybe he was banged up to start the season, and he's just rounding into form now.
Yeah, I agree. I hope he kind of was, because I want to see him return to what he was last year, which was a solid college running back at the very least. I mean, that's it. Obviously we have Trevor Etienne right behind him for me. Not too many. I know you haven't always been the biggest Jaden Ott fan. Anything changed on that front for the 25 class? Or are you still kind of hating on Ott?
You know, I have moved him ahead in some circumstances that have allowed him to rise up. Jamorian Miller, not really doing anything for Alabama thus far. So it makes sense, right? Drop him down. Branson Robinson, significant injury, a soft tissue injury, and one that could be career threatening. Who knows? Branson Robinson's a beast, but he has to move down past Ott, because Ott's actually producing now and he's healthy. We know he's still a pretty explosive player. And at the end of the day, Jaden Ott is inside my top seven right now in the 2025 class for running backs. So I do think that I'm giving him more respect, as he's just been Mr. Consistent, I guess, as far as just building off of what he did last year, impressing, just looking solid. At the end of the day, if he's maybe closer to that 210 range for his weight, and then he's also doing the athletic things he's done thus far, that'll get me even more impressed, because I think that's maybe the reason I was lowest on him coming into college, was did he actually have the frame to actually be like a full-time back? And there's been some circumstances that have allowed him to have a pretty workhorse type role this season, but part of that's just because he's a good player. So Jaden Ott, definitely a solid player in the 25 class. But how high are you on Jaden Ott? Because I know you've been very much on him the whole way.
Yeah, I mean, if anything, he's dropped a little bit for me, but I think once again, it's more of like other players moving ahead of him than him even dropping. Because nothing's really changed. I mean, 7% big time run rate. He's still great in the receiving game. You know, 4 receptions per game, 1.0 PPR points per touch, like all that kind of stuff. So, I mean, nothing's really changed. He's just a solid running back. He's not top tier by any means, but he's just right there. And, you know, but that's what I was saying about Audric Estime last year, is like, he's just solid. He's just there. And then next thing you know, Estime is kind of blowing up, and we can definitely I guess we can just transition into Estime here. Like, he's got to be the biggest riser of every class, if not just the 24 class here. But what are you thinking about Audric Estime? I didn't really want to dive into the 24 class yet. I wanted to kind of save that for the end, but we're already talking about Audric Estime. We got to get that out of the way, baby.
All right, well, we'll do a brief jump to the 24 class, because Estime is definitely a riser, and it's a useful exercise for us to look at this 25 class and say, okay, maybe not the best situation this year, or maybe there's a guy who's just, you know, competing for touches, not allowing them to truly break out. And that's what really has happened for Audric Estime. So that's something to look for this next year, is like, what situations are opening up for a workhorse type season. So Damian Martinez, if you were looking last year, it's like, you know, there's some competition there going into this year, less competition, or at least he was rising up as that lead guy. And again, that's what Audric Estime has done at Notre Dame thus far. So very impressive season, definitely a riser in the 2024 class. But I do think, I guess to get back to the 25 class talk too, is that going to happen for some of these guys like Jamorian Miller for Alabama? We kind of wish it would, but then there's Richard Young, then there's Justice Haynes. And if one of, like, I don't know who else is going to stick around at Alabama, but at the end of the day, yeah, you want those guys who are going to step into a workhorse type role who have already flashed pretty well. And unfortunately, Jamorian Miller has not yet. So that's just one guy that pops into mind. I guess another guy like Dylan Sampson, Tennessee running back, I know you want to talk about him in the 2025 class. He's another guy where it's like, after Jabari Small and Jalen Wright move on, might be the season. We're really hoping so. Who could step up there next? And really, Dylan Sampson is a guy that makes a lot of sense. I'm not going to completely write off a guy like Cam Seldon as far as mixing in, but I mean, it's very clear to this point, Seldon has not beat out Dylan Sampson. Sampson has been very efficient. He's been had a great nose for the end zone, and I don't really need to talk about him more in depth because I'm sure you're going to give him some praise here. And I just talked about it actually on this Campus to Canton Back to Devi podcast just this week too. So listen to that. Check out some running back talk, including Dylan Sampson on that pod. But yeah, I mean, he's been definitely a riser in the 25 class, no matter the concerns with his size.
Yeah, I think you said it perfectly. If he was 10 pounds heavier, I don't think we would be even talking about Cam Seldon at all. You know, like, it would just be like, all right, you know, Jalen Wright and Jabari Small are going to move on, and it's going to be the Dylan Sampson show. Unfortunately, he's only 190 pounds, or at least that's what he's, you know, listed at. And that's probably what he is, even though he's the goal line back for Tennessee, which is hilarious. But it just seems like, you know, I know people that are fans of the team have talked about Cam Seldon possibly going back to wide receiver. I don't know how you feel about that or not, but I think that everything we've seen from Dylan Sampson is Bucky Irving-ish. And, you know, and so I obviously love Bucky, and so I also love Sampson. I mean, his numbers are off the charts, just great. The only thing is, he's just never had a full workload. And the question is always going to be, is he going to get a full workload? Now, Jalen Wright is great in his own right. So I'm not hating on that player at all. So I really am hoping that once he goes away to the NFL, hopefully, that it does become kind of the Dylan Sampson show. So we are hoping for that same kind of breakout that you know would have seen with like a Jonathan Brooks this year, you know, somebody like that, where they kind of are a no name, a nobody for most people, and then next thing you know, everyone knows their name, you know.
Yeah, no, that's a very fair comparison there, and I do hope that Jalen Wright goes on, because he could capitalize on what's been a very efficient season, especially down the stretch here, as he's a little bit banged up recently.
Absolutely. All right. So for the 25 class, I was a big CJ Donaldson fan. He has fallen for me. I think he has to, unfortunately. He's still up there. Like, he's not, like, he hasn't fallen off completely or anything like that. But I mean, he was somebody I was a lot more excited about going into the season. You know, you're nodding. I'm assuming that you agree there. We probably don't need to discuss him too much. I'm just going through here. We already talked about Catron Allen, Dylan Sampson. What about LaQuint Allen? I don't think we've ever truly discussed Allen here. I wasn't the biggest fan, but he's been kind of surprisingly, like, good. Not great, not amazing, but pretty good. You know, covering for Sean Tucker there.
Yeah, and you know what? It was purely CFF opportunity. He's going to get some starting reps, and there was that uncertainty this offseason, which I suppose suppressed some of the hype for him. But he's come out and been fine this season. Like, was he as efficient as last season? No. I mean, he hasn't been thus far, and a little bit of concern there, but I don't know. I'm not going to give up on him by any means, because it's his second season. He has the potential to put on a little bit more size onto that frame. I'm going to guess he could be up like 205 plus when it's all said and done. He's not there yet, but yeah, LaQuinton Allen's never been a guy that I'm super hyped about by any means, but he's a capable receiver and capable three down back. So I guess he has that going for him if he can put on a little bit of size. So at the end of the day, keep an eye on him. I actually have a couple guys a little bit ahead of him in this class, though, in this 25 class.
Yeah, and I definitely do too. Actually, one of them I think is kind of your boy, and so I wanted to see how you were feeling about Amarian Hampton. He's obviously had some big games. He's also missed some time as well. I think he missed some time last year as well, so maybe that's an issue for him. But like I said, he's put together some pretty quality games when he was healthy, and I know you were pretty damn hyped about him last year, if I remember correctly. So how are you feeling about Amarian Hampton there?
Yeah, no, I'm feeling good about him. And honestly, some of the things this year, I'm not concerned about him being banged up because he's really, I think he's played each game this season, or maybe he missed one or something. But last season too, it was more of a fumbling issue that took him out of those games. He might have been also banged up slightly, but he doesn't have anything from a nagging or concerning injury history, which is nice to see. And he's got such a great frame at 6'2", 220. The guy's built like an Audric Estime type, and I liken him to that type as well. And he's been pretty good this season. I mean, App State was the blow-up game, and then he's seen some a little bit tougher defenses thus far. So we'll see what UNC does down the stretch. I think that they're going to get some favorable matchups here, and he just seems like he's running away with the job. British Brooks, unfortunately, has been a little bit banged up again. He missed all last season, I believe, with an ACL tear, and Brooks is fine, but at the end of the day, Marion Hampton is kind of the bigger, better, younger version. And we'll see if they give Brooks some of those carries once he returns back to full health here. But yeah, Hampton is a fun guy. He was a good recruit, and I think everybody's concern has always been the speed. He's shown a little bit more burst this season, ability to pop some big plays and even get involved as a receiver. So yeah, I am definitely rising him up. He's in my top five right now in the class. So that's actually, I'm sure, a bold thing. And I just inquired to somebody about trading for him, and they're like, he is an untouchable asset at this time. And I think that's kind of crazy, to be honest. Like in C2C leagues, I think he's definitely not in that elite of an athlete tier where he should be off limits. But that just shows that there's some people out there who are insanely high on him as like maybe a top five back in that class.
So I was just looking. I have him at 7 in the class. Yeah, so 7. So, I mean, I'm not too far off from you there. And like you said, he's been somebody who's been a pretty big riser for me because I did not love him last year at all. Something clicked this year for him for sure. And then I wanted to ask you about Ashton Jeanty, because obviously we don't talk about too many, or I've learned my lesson about G5 running backs. You were always pretty good about that, but I when I first created my model and everything, I kind of fell in love with some G5 running backs. I didn't quite have some of the intricacies of the model worked out just right just yet. Now I have it pretty good, but every once in a while a G5 guy does pop, and we have Ashton Jeanty here pretty damn high for me, and so it's rough because I still have those Lou Nichol fears in the back of my mind, but I'm sitting here going, he's been pretty damn good. I feel like he should at least be in the mix here. How do you feel about Jeanty?
Yeah, I mean, I do like Jeanty partially because he's just so good as a receiver, and in addition to that, I mean, he was good as a freshman. He's good again as a sophomore, but he's not really sticking out from George Halani as far as production goes. Like last year, George Halani was, you know, basically just as effective as a rusher, not necessarily more effective as a receiver. But, and then this year, Jeanty has been able to take over, but you'll notice that George Halani's only played one game. So at the end of the day, it doesn't really matter for CFF purposes. Like Jeanty's killing it. You love him if he's on your team, and he's just so capable as a receiver. He can be have a very high floor at the NFL level as just like a pass catching back, if that's maybe all he amounts to. But at the end of the day, maybe there's a little bit of juice there. I've always I've never been sold about his receiving, his big time playability. I'm curious what his big time run rate is, for example, and maybe at the G5 level, we can't really put too much weight in that stat because of the competition he's dominating against, but he's not a fast player. He's quick enough though. He has some of those agility traits where it's like, he's not going to outrun everybody, but if he can just consistently pop some plays, some smaller chunk plays and play a good role as a receiver. Yeah. He's an interesting back for me. So G5, like he's roughly around that top 10 range for me in the class. So I don't hate him by any means.
Yeah, and he's at 8%, which for anyone else would be great. But like you said, maybe we have to take it kind of with a grain of salt in G5. That being said, he's a hell of a receiver. I mean, we really have to give him credit as a receiver. If anything, I mean, he might be one of the best running back receiving options in the country, at least what he's putting on paper, on tape, all that kind of stuff.
Jahmyr Gibbs, yeah, as a receiver for sure.
He is. And so that excites me, you know, and like you said, I don't want to put him too high because it's G5 and all that. And maybe he does have deficiencies as a runner. Although people say that Jahmyr Gibbs has deficiencies as a runner. And yet, you know, in the few touches that he actually gets, he looks pretty damn good in the NFL. It's all very interesting. And so like, I kind of fall in love with those players, but you know, I don't want to be too in love with the G5 guy, but I just wanted him to be in the mix. Is there anyone else in the 25 class that you feel like should be thrown in here before we move on to a probably pretty abrupt 26 class review?
A couple of guys. I don't really want to get into DJ Giddens, a little bit deeper guy who I'm just now keeping an eye on for Kansas State.
Oh yeah, I have him as a junior. Is he a sophomore?
Oh, actually, you know, that might be on me. He totally could have been a redshirt freshman last season.
I think he is, but yeah. I also could be wrong.
Yeah, so anyways, maybe disregard that. But, you know, he's a young guy who potentially could be a nice riser in one of these classes. But I was going to say we were probably moving down Andrew Paul, Georgia back, Jaden Blue, Texas backs. Not that they don't have a feature, but they have some sort of future, you would think, at the college level, but it might just not be for those teams, and it might not be at a high end level, but we'll see how they bounce back. But no, last guy I was going to mention was Jordan James, Oregon back, and he has just done nothing but impress in complimenting Bucky Irving. So I know you're a big Bucky Irving guy. I have been, you know, somewhere in the middle. And there's obviously a lot of people who do not like Bucky Irving just because of the size thing. They would love him if he was 15 pounds heavier, but they just kind of eliminate him from possibility of being an NFL guy because of the size. And I kind of get that, right? That's why I'm in between. And you look at what Jordan James has been doing at a bigger size, at an NFL size, and that's really impressive and intriguing. So he's not the receiver that Bucky is, but in that offense, I mean, he can be just a beast from a CFF production, but also from maybe just an NFL prospect lens. He can definitely be a guy rising into that top 10. He's not quite there for me, but I could see him getting there if he continues to take over more and more work this season.
Yeah, he has not had very many touches, but the touches that he has had were great, amazing. You know, like he's over like 2 yards or 2 PPR points per touch. I mean, he's doing some big things when he actually does touch the ball. Obviously, like you said, he has the size. He's kind of the goal line back. 7 rushing touchdowns already on the year. I mean, obviously they have a great offense, so it's not that shocking. But you know, he only has 34 rushing attempts, so you know, like that is just showing that he definitely has big playability. He has an 8% big time run rate. And when you're talking about only 34 attempts and the fact that he's kind of the goal line back and all that kind of stuff, the fact that he still has an 8% big time run rate is probably a pretty big deal, you know, because take away how many plays where he doesn't even have a chance to break a big time run, you know, off of 34 rush attempts. He doesn't seem to be much of a receiving option. So, you know, that's going to be a little bit of a hindrance to his game. And that's why he ends up being a little bit lower for me. But I actually did want to, you know, bring up the fact that He should definitely be on there because I actually have him basically back to back with Dylan Sampson right now. So, I mean, and they're kind of similar players, although maybe I would say that Sampson's a better receiver. But, you know, they're kind of similar players as far as like their athleticism and you know, like their burst and that kind of stuff. Obviously, not size wise and all that kind of stuff. But just so it ends up being that they kind of. They come into this little this little area of the model, and they end up in the you know in the same rank, basically.
Yeah, and it's just very notable that he has that solid size, and he has that good recruiting pedigree and all that stuff. I believe Georgia really wanted him, and then he ended up going to Oregon, and we all somewhat buried him because of the competition there, or we forgot about him because he didn't do a lot. Just like Omarion Hampton, we forgot about him at UNC because he didn't do a lot, and. There's been many circumstances, if I've learned one thing over the last year or two about some of this running back evaluation is like, don't get too caught up about the competition for these guys coming in because Quinshon Judkins coming in. Oh, he's ever going to see the field. Zach Evans is there. Oh, nope. Good players actually get some playing time sooner or later. Sometimes it does take time, but same with, I don't know. You can just go down the list and say, Ashton Gianti was never going to play. George Helani was there. Well, good players are going to get on the field. So if you're really convinced that you like a freshman, especially going into the season, don't fade them into oblivion or don't put them on your do not draft list because of a poor landing spot, because you just never know when these guys are going to merge. You want to draft talent at the end of the day. So never forget that part of a profile.
Absolutely. All right. Why don't we transition quickly over to the 2026 class, and then we'll dive into the 24 class to wrap everything up. Hopefully we can give you guys an idea of how that class is shaping up, because like I said, a lot of people have been confused and scared and you know, they're saying the sky's falling and all that kind of stuff as far as the 24 class is concerned. And hell, they might be right. We'll figure that out here in a little bit. Obviously, we have to start with Darius Taylor out of Minnesota. Your boy, he's been just blowing up the unbelievable workload. I mean, basically everything that we could possibly want, except for maybe a receiving profile. I mean, it's kind of there, but like it's nothing amazing. But he's also a true freshman, so we're not going to freak out about it a little too much. But 11% big-time run rate, quality size, and... you know, basically everything we would want to see, 147 scrimmage yards per game from a true freshman that they were just like, oh, yep, you're our guy now. Like that's just it. So we're going to give you 30 touches a game. How are you feeling about your boy there?
Hey, I am liking him for sure. And he's my guy because, you know, I'm a Minnesota guy and a fan of the Gophers. But what's so sad is I have zero shares. I tried to acquire Sharon, you know, very unsuccessful in doing so.
Oh, no.
So I need to maybe hop in a startup this offseason or something and just draft him super early, because he's going to have to go early in drafts in a C2C format because he's just so valuable production-wise. But one interesting thing was this last week he was out. He didn't play in the game. And Zach Evans, actually, so the other Zach Evans, he – actually had a really nice game. Like, I know they kind of split the workload among some guys, but Zach Evans was a young guy who we thought maybe would emerge and take over this backfield this season. And, you know, we were wrong. You know, Darius Taylor has taken that over. I am curious to see if there's slightly more of a split, but if we know anything about Minnesota, when they find a guy who's really talented, they're just going to ride with him. They're going to give them, force feed them touches. They're not necessarily, excuse me, going to feed them in the receiving game at all. But yes, Darius Taylor, there's very interesting. I haven't been able to extensively watch him, as sad as that is, right? Because just been such a busy fall to be able to watch all the games, all the plays has been difficult. But he's flashed pretty well out there on a fairly unexciting offense, I guess you could say, for sure. And that's being kind of kind. So at the end of the day, Darius Taylor, do you see him as like a big time Devy asset, or is this more so like just a C2C, like a better version of like a Rasheen Ollie or something like that?
So that was actually what we discussed last week on the Full Tilt Devy pod was, you know, I know, like, once again, I listened to a lot of podcasts, and I was listening to Campus Life from the C2C boys, Austin Nace and Colin, I can't think of his last name right now, but yeah. So listening to them, and they were talking about Darius Taylor here, and they were saying how like they had moved him up, they'd moved him into like their top 20s or like 20, 25, whatever for Taylor or for Devy running backs, but they, you know, weren't 100% convinced. You know, they didn't know about the athleticism and stuff like that. And, you know, then I'm talking to Andy on the Full Tilt Devy pod. And I'm like, man, I just like, what more do you want to see? I don't know. Like, I think he has to be a top 12 Devy option. Like, he's a true freshman. He can get better. I know there's a system there, but like you said, they handed him the rock. They gave it to him after basically game one. Yes, Zach Evans looked good this past week, but it was against Louisiana. Like, you know, it's you could probably take that with a little bit of a grain of salt. And it wasn't even something amazing. He had like 15 rushes for like 85 yards or whatever it was. So nothing like absolutely amazing. I don't know, like, maybe, does that seem crazy to you? But I mean, when I see a true freshman do what he's doing, it makes me want to put him into the top 12.
Yeah, it's very, very tempting to do so at this time. And it's better to potentially overreact in that situation and say, oh, wow, he could actually be, like you said, top 12 overall Devy back, or maybe like a top three guy in the class, top four guy in the 26 class, and then try to trade for him, get ahead of the crowd. But, you know, if there is a C2C manager out there who has him, they got to be just licking their chops, knowing that there's a legit CFF guy and potentially a Devy guy who they'll have on their team for at least 3 years. So good luck to you out there. Try to acquire Darius Taylor, potentially a nice Devy back as well.
Absolutely. I mean, at the very least, like you said, I think I'd rather be ahead of the ball there than behind it, you know, and just because you're never going to get them. You're never going to have that opportunity unless you're a little ahead of the game there.
Right. Yeah. Mo Ibrahim was not an NFL guy, but he was definitely drafted early in a lot of C2C leagues. And I'm not saying like first round of startups or anything, but I mean, he has to be pretty high once you start getting past like the obvious elite guys or what we think are elite.
Yeah, definitely. So the next player for me, as far as the freshmen are concerned, is a huge tear break from Darius Taylor. I don't know how you feel about all that, but it's for me, it's Dylan Edwards out of Colorado. It's a giant tear break. So I'm not trying to like compare these two players at all, but I think that, you know, he showed enough, at least in the receiving game. He hasn't really shown much as an actual rusher, but he's shown something in the receiving game to where he can do a little bit of everything. And I mean, he does have the big time run rate. Like he has shown some as a rusher, but he's pretty teeny tiny. So I don't know that it's ever going to be a Devy viable thing. But then the rest of the players from this class that could possibly be Devy viable, like a Roderick Robinson, like players like that, just haven't like truly touched the ball nearly enough to where we can be like, oh yeah, we have any idea if they're truly good or not, like a Jeremiah Love, Mark Fletcher Jr., like players like that.
Yeah, I was shocked at first. I didn't know where you were going with that Dylan Edwards take, just because I know you haven't bought in as a Devy asset, and neither have I, right? In Devy, I'm not investing in a 170-pound guy, no matter what Deuce Vaughn does in the preseason, or, you know, if he gets a couple carries and some actual non-garbage time games in the NFL level, I'm still not buying into Edwards. But like from a CFF standpoint, I've always been just an advocate of saying, well, he's going to get a lot of receiving work. He's going to get touches in an offense that runs a ton of plays. So that's just fantasy, a lot of fantasy allure with Edwards. So yes, not really Devy relevant, but you know, C2C, CFF definitely was worth some waiver bids. Depends how much, you know, depends on your league settings. But one thing I'll say about, you know, you mentioned like Jeremiah Love, for example, he's actually been a pretty big riser for me. I already liked him, but he's done nothing but be the next guy, the heir apparent at Notre Dame after Audric Estime. Like he's been just as efficient as Estime. Again, smaller sample, right? I'm not saying he is as good. He, because he doesn't have the size yet, but he also has the frame to put on that size. Like, I have zero concerns about him getting up above like 200, 205 even. I think that's very realistic with their weight room too. We know how they produce some very, very solid size backs usually. So I'm excited for what's ahead for Jeremiah Love, Notre Dame. He's right now my RB7 in the 26 class, but I honestly want to move him up to, you know, maybe within that top five. We'll see.
Yeah, he has. I mean, it hasn't. The only reason why he's as low as he is in the model is just because he really hasn't touched the ball enough. You know, it's just one of those things where you have to start putting up some yardage and stuff like that to really start creeping up the model. But all the things that we like to look at, the big time run rate, all that kind of stuff is there, even though it's a small sample. 13% big time run rate. Like you said, he's not only a 27 BMI right now, so we do need to see him get a little bit larger. But with a 6-foot frame, we would kind of assume that he can get over that 200 pounds. That shouldn't be a problem. But I don't deal with what he could be and shoulda, wouldas, and all that kind of stuff. I deal with what he is. So right now, it's 27 BMI. That needs to come up a little bit. One reception per game, you know, not great, but he's a part-time player. So, I mean, not the end of the world by any means. And just, you know, 40 scrimmage yards per game. So that's going to bring him down. Only 34 attempts is also going to bring him down in the model. So that's why, I mean, I have a Roderick Robinson, Jeremiah Love, Mark Fletcher, Quentin Joyner, like all these players, like, right around each other in the model, because they just haven't done nearly enough yet. But they all kind of are showing something, although Robinson and Joyner are sitting at a 7% big time run rate. Now, once again, small sample sizes, but, you know, do we start to get a little concerned about athleticism, big time plays, like that kind of stuff? Or do you say, hey, it's really small samples, like, let's not freak out here?
Yeah, I have to say it is two small samples with that, I would have to say, for these guys. So unless they have like extensive opportunities and they're just really blowing it, I'm not going to panic too much one way or another. The fact that there's freshmen seeing the field and showing something early on is very promising. And kind of a side tangent here, but I just listened to the podcast that Matt Harmon put out this week with Austin Eckler. And it was very interesting to see an NFL running back's view on how young backs in the NFL, and this even applies to college, how they view blocking schemes, how they actually develop as runners. And that's maybe, he talked about David Montgomery and Jahmyr Gibbs, and why Jahmyr Gibbs is maybe not seeing as many carries as the Devy community wants him to, or the dynasty, you know, anybody who rosters Jahmyr Gibbs, they want to see a lot of touches going to him in Detroit. But right now, even though he is, you know, the more explosive, efficient runner, well, he's doing some things that he just needs to learn how to play the position better. And that goes for these freshman guys. That goes for, you know, different positions. Wide receiver is one of them, but running back also applies. We think sometimes, oh, they know how to run the ball from day one, and that's not always quite the case. So I'm not going to penalize them too harshly based on just their freshman seasons. We've seen some guys that we mentioned earlier, Jordan James for Oregon, Omarion Hampton, UNC, who have really risen now. They weren't very efficient. They weren't super special by any means as freshmen, but they've learned how to run better in those schemes. They've been able to develop just as players a little bit too. So yeah, not panicking, not shifting my rankings too dramatically as far as moving guys down based on what, 5 weeks for the 26 running backs yet.
Yeah, and I agree. And I was looking at, you know, we have Roderick Robinson, Quentin Joyner, Jaden Lamar, Treyon Webb, Jeremiah Cobb, Dante Dowdle, all like right around 15 rushes, rush attempts. So, I mean, you know, it's really the smallest of samples here.
Yeah. A quick question on a couple under the radar guys who are not high-end recruits and or high priorities for us in the evaluation process coming into the season, but like some depth guys are at least getting some nice opportunity and flashing. Parker Jenkins, Houston back. I haven't really had a chance to watch him, but what he's doing is notable. LJ Martin, BYU, definitely doing some interesting things as far as getting a nice workload. Again, is that athleticism, is the breakaway runs going to come? That's something I'm curious to see because he hasn't been extremely efficient. But those are just two under the radar guys that I see a lot of folks saying, should they be in that top 10 range? Should they be like rising up like a Darius Taylor is. And I really don't think they should be rising up to that extreme, but at least rising a little bit for a Martin or a Jenkins.
It's not too often that you say a name that I do not have in the model, but I do not have Parker Jenkins in the model. And I'm looking now and he's in the stats, so I'm not sure why he's not in the model, but out of Houston, right?
Yeah, that's correct. And I mean, only, I don't know, 218 yards, rushing yards on the season. Not bad, but he's been taken over the last 2 weeks. So 20 carries, 13 carries, very efficient in that time. And last game against Texas Tech in a loss, and he was still, you know, getting a good amount of touches there. Just an interesting guy who has enough size where you could see him up above that 200 yards mark. And he was, I mean, he was a guy I looked at when I was doing all this freshman scouting and all that stuff, but I had him too low, admittedly. I think I had him in the 30s in the class, so I was not on him. I didn't draft him necessarily, but a guy that we need to watch out for now.
Yeah, definitely. I'm going to add him for sure, but I guess that's it for the 26 class. That was really, I basically mentioned all the players. There's really only a couple that have actually done anything so far, which is why I touched on the two with Dylan Edwards and Darius Taylor in the beginning, because they're really the only ones that have like truly done anything. Cedric Baxter has been kind of hurt and everything, but I mean, he's looked pretty good when he's touched the ball, but I think he's going to be just fine when it's all said and done. But let's dive into the 24 class here, because like I said, I think there's been some concern with everyone. It seems like everyone's like, oh, everyone's just falling off here. Trevion Henderson's falling off. Braylon Allen's falling off. He's being overtaken by Chez Mulusi. And, you know, Raheem Sanders is like an offensive lineman now. You know, it just seems like the sky is falling. But is the sky actually falling for the 24 class, Aaron?
You know, this type of talk comes in waves, and we've talked about it before on this podcast, but you know, going into the season or even last season, it's like, ooh, that next year's class is going to be so great, so much better. And then it actually starts to come around and we realize, oh wait, guys get injured. Guys become less efficient. Offenses change, injuries happen, suspensions, you know, whatever the case is, but things happen. Guys, unfortunately, don't really rise up or continue to improve the way that we think they will. They don't always get better. And I think we're seeing some of that this season, seeing some maybe unlucky things play out for, you know, Trevion Henderson and Raheem Sanders. Not that Trevion Henderson has had, you know, terrible luck this season, but it hasn't been like that triumphant, oh yeah, he's the RB1 stud, absolute workhorse takeaways thus far this season for Ohio State. So in the grand scheme of things, there are some guys that are dropping. Raheem Sanders, unfortunately, just not seemingly healthy and seemingly coming in overweight this season. And let's see. I mean, there's been some other guys who've been a little bit disappointing. Jason McClellan, we expected him to take that step. I know some people were on Jaquinda Jackson, not really doing it. Donovan Edwards, not really doing it. And I think a lot of it has to do with the underreported health issues that he's struggled with over the last year. A lot of leg injuries. In fact, I think he had an off-season surgery, and you know that has probably affected him this season. I'm just going to take a guess and say that has some reason why he's not breaking some of those big plays, because we know he has the athleticism to do it. Donovan Edwards did that last season, and he was even banged up doing that. He has to be affected somehow this season with some of the ailments and off-season surgery, something like that. So he went from, you know, maybe the RB4 in this class to probably staying another year. We'll see, I guess.
Yeah, I agree with you. Something has to be going on. It just doesn't make any sense. Both you and I were extremely high on Donovan Edwards. I really thought like there was a good chance that him and Corum were going to split 50-50 and both look really damn good this year. If anything, I kind of thought that Donovan Edwards was going to take over and Corum might take a step back. But, you know, once again, Blake Corum's just too damn good. So I should have just believed in my baby and you know, not thought that. But I didn't expect Donovan Edwards to kind of fall off like he has. And it's been pretty rough. But like, I'm with you. I think that something's going on there. There's a reason for it. I don't think he just forgot how to run the football. Like, I don't think that's the case.
And I agree. And there's always been that narrative out there. And there's some, I guess, reason behind it that he hasn't been a great in between the tackles type runner. And I'm not going to dispute that and say he's been great, right? His vision can really vary or be inconsistent. But at the end of the day, last season, he not only had a hand injury, which required a couple of screws in his hand and whatever, I'm sure that's healed up just fine. But his knee injury came in the second game of last season, and he had surgery this off season. So this 2023 summer, or actually I think it was early year, more like spring, and to repair, I think, a torn patellar tendon, partial tear, something like that. So not a rupture, but you know what? Those things take time. We're knocking a Branson Robinson and say that he needs at least a year to rehab that injury. I think we should be saying Donovan Edwards probably needs maybe a year to get back to that preform self. If he gets there, I assume that he will, but that injury has just gone so underreported. I think it's important we touch on it. And we can kind of move on, but you know, Blake Corum's been very good in this class, and I think we should, you know, give him another shout out where he's just like perennially underrated, disrespected, whatever you want to say, because I guess nobody likes 200-pound running backs who are insanely productive. That doesn't make any sense to me, but he can do it all, you know, in the receiving game, in the rushing game. And I get he's not like you go to all the like top end guys, the Bijans, the Jonathan Taylors, etc. Yeah, I get it. They're 220. Blake Corum's not that. He's not going to be the RB1 in all of the NFL, probably, unless he lands in the perfect system like a Devin Achane did this last season. So I guess you never really know what's going to happen with these players, but all we know is that Blake Corum's a pretty good player.
So in my model, I have it set to where if you're a certain height, you get dinged. If you are a senior, you get dinged a little bit. You know, fourth year player, you get dinged a little bit. If you're a fifth year player, obviously, so on and so forth, you get dinged a little bit. If you are like egregiously short, like 5'8", 5'7", or you know, lower, you get another ding on top of everything else. So I have basically done everything in my power to ding Blake Corum to death so that he will not be high in the model. And he's still high in the model. Like, he's just that damn good. I even changed his height because of our boy Mike Valerie, Dirty Mike on Twitter. I changed his height to 5'7 in the model just to give him another ding, even though he's listed at 5'8". But he swears he's like 5'6". So like I met him in the middle, changed it to 5'7". So he's 5'7", 200 pounds in the model. He comes out as my RB21 now, like overall. So, you know, that's with all of those dings and everything. I just don't know what else to do. He's just a quality running back. No, he's probably not going to be a first round pick. He's probably not going to be a second round pick. I could easily see him being a third round pick though, and being a much better version of Deuce Vaughn. You know, like a version of Deuce Vaughn that can actually see the field, like that kind of thing. And obviously not nearly as small as Deuce Vaughn either.
Yeah. You know, I don't currently have a good comp who's like, yeah, right now playing really well at the NFL level. But like a Devontae Freeman type career, right? Where it's very effective, very possible for him to have top five, top 10 seasons in the right situation. And that's sometimes what these backs need. So you can get that situation in the third round. We're not out here to say that, you know, draft capital is the end all be all. Sometimes the situation can matter way more than that. So at the end of the day, you like to draft good players. I think he has kind of meets some of those thresholds, even though he gets dinged in some overall aspects of a model, for example. But I guess, what are some of your other thoughts about this 2024 running back class, John?
Well, before we get into some of the bigger names, I guess, what, like you had mentioned how Donovan Edwards probably not coming out at this point. I guess we can probably just assume that unless something drastically changes here in the next few weeks. So, Are there some other players that maybe we thought had a chance to get into the 24 class that now we're just assuming the 25 class. I'm thinking of like a Logan Diggs. I'm thinking of a Jarquez Hunter that we were, you know, both pretty high on, and he really hasn't done too much. Obviously, he had some off the field issues as well. But, you know, players like that that have kind of just like not completely fallen off or anything like that. They're just not doing nearly as much as maybe we would expect if we thought they're really going to like dive into the 24 class. Are there any other names that like truly come to mind? Oh, Trey Benson, you know, would probably be another good one.
Yeah. I think that those are all fair names that you threw out there. And, you know, I just have a weird feeling about Jarquez Hunter, just that he's not going to put it all together. I don't know if there's, and Auburn's obviously not the most excellent offensive environment for backs. We know that. So, you know, maybe he does transfer out and play somewhere else and prove that he can be a pretty solid back. But as far as guys who are going to return that we really thought would be, you know, maybe cornerstone pieces or not like fairly decent pieces in this class, I think another one that we touched on earlier, Jaquindon Jackson for Utah, Roman Hemby, Maryland. I don't know what Mayan Williams does, to be honest, because Travion Henderson, you got to think he's coming out. And Mayan Williams, it's like, well, I mean, I'm sure Ohio State would love to see him back another year, but it's like, dude, just get out of there. Like, if you want a big time role, transfer to like any other P5 school besides, you know, Alabama or, you know, a couple of those top ones. And, you know, he could be a solid starter there, I suppose, or just go somewhere, Mayan Williams, but maybe he returns back to school. I'm trying to think of other guys like Jonathan Brooks is probably going to the NFL. Jonathan Brooks is having an excellent season. It makes zero sense for him to stay another year at Texas, though.
Said we weren't getting into the big names yet.
You know, and you go down the list and it's like EJ Smith, he's not doing anything at Stanford. So Kendall Milton probably transfer out from Georgia at this rate. Try to make a name for himself somewhere else, potentially. Jalen Wright or Jabari Small, you know, one of them is probably going to declare. I don't know what the other one will do, transfer, maybe stay. Not that, you know, Jabari Small is on our radars at this point. He's just kind of a nuisance, right? He's an SEC running back who gets way too many touches for the talented guys behind him. But anyways, that's just a couple guys who I just quickly thought of. There's probably more. Do you have any more that probably are going to return, maybe spoil somebody's season next year, or just another loss from this 2024 class?
I was thinking like a Dejon Edwards. Could he return and ruin Roderick Robinson and players like that, or possibly transfer out? I don't know. It's just like that Georgia backfield has just been a mess, like a hot mess for really years now. And we all want to believe that it's going to return to what it was once was, but I don't know. Like it just seems like it's not quite working out with those players right now.
No. And some of it's bad luck too. It's like there's injuries that are happening that are just so freak and you really hate to see it because like Paul, you know, Andrew Paul, just such a great recruit, or sorry, just such a great talent, not even a great recruit, but such a riser. And then just to tear his ACL last off season, and then he's not really back to full health this year. And then you see guys such as Branson Robinson, you know, significant injuries, and some of his bad luck. And that's what's caused Dejon Edwards to really rise in this class, or well, at least rise to the occasion, right? Very good production thus far. And he's probably going to be the lead back as long as he stays healthy this season. And I think he capitalizes off of that. He kind of reads the tea leaves and says, you know, let's go off to the NFL. I don't know if I really have much NFL suitors, but let's just try to be a day three guy, get in a nice situation. And I think he knows the guys coming up there at Georgia are still talented. You know, they're not nobodies. And can he ward them off for another whole season? Yeah, he's kind of capitalizing on what he's got so far. So it's a good mention for this class. I honestly do think that he could slot in not as a top five guy, but kind of round out like maybe that, you know, 6 to 15 range anywhere in there.
Yeah, I'm going to tell you, I'm going to be all out if that's the case. I want nothing to do with them. Another player that I probably want nothing to do with, and then we'll dive into the quality players. But a player that we've probably talked about in the past, we definitely talked about in the past, that I don't think you were ever too high on, but was probably thrown into the mix, is Devin Maccabee. And he kind of seems to just be doing just about nothing this season. So I think he's another one that probably will be returning and not declaring for the NFL. It seems like you agree there.
Yeah, it makes my C2C share of him very sad, because honestly, he had a lot of things going for him, and then, you know, mix up the coaching staff and some of the system. And honestly, the guy, I think he leads college football in fumbles or something like that. Like, it's just not going well. He's already inefficient this season and sort of losing any sort of hold that he had on that starting job. It seems to be kind of slowly siphoning touches away from him. So yeah, I don't like that for Maccabee. He's not dead, but he's trending down. And we can talk about some like deeper guys if you want to in this class, but you know, are they going to be true difference makers? Like a Nate Noel, like, he's doing great things at App State, but he doesn't really have the size, you know, that's an issue. Same with Harrison Whaley, Wyoming back, and Blake Watson, now Memphis back. Just unfortunately, maybe not quite enough. And some of those guys are G5. Actually, all those are G5 guys. So we know what we want to prioritize, and that's not the G5 guys, unless you're like elite receiver like Ashton Giante. But even then, it's like, yeah, we're not going to rank you too highly. We've learned our lesson in the past.
Exactly. All right. Ali, so
any chance that you'll consider him?
I don't think. Is he a senior?
Yeah, yep, he's a senior, and he did miss last year with an injury, but you know, he's come back out this season, and he's just such a workhorse. Maybe he doesn't actually get much draft capital. You know, I'm not saying he's going to be like a day two guy, but just a guy who's been so solid for his team, and I'm not even saying he's like a home run threat, but.
I can't do it. He's actually one spot behind Devin Maccabee for me. So if I was out on Maccabee, I got to be out on Ali.
Well, that's got to change, because one guy is like a top, you know, five college back as far as production goes, and Maccabee is like, you know, leading the league in fumbles.
I mean, it'll probably fix itself by the end of the season, but I mean, Maccabee is also a junior, and Ali's a fifth year player, right? So. I believe.
You know who we didn't talk about? This is a big name right now. Raymond Davis.
Yeah, I said we haven't gotten into the big names yet.
okay, sorry. Yeah. I keep forgetting.
Yeah, okay. So let's talk about the big names here. We'll start from the bottom up. You had actually mentioned him earlier, but DJ Giddens has actually skyrocketed up my ranks for me, and I have him as a top 12 running back in the class now. So that might be short-sighted, because it's kind of a smaller sample, mostly from this season, so that could easily change, but he's doing everything that Deuce Vaughn did, but he's like twice Deuce Vaughn's size. So it's like, what would we do if Deuce Vaughn was big?
Yeah, I love it. I love the DJ Giddens shout out. I mean, just so much of that comes off the UCF game. I didn't expect that to vault him up that much, but honestly, it was a tremendous game. And one of the big catalysts for that is his, backfield mates, why am I blanking on his name, was out, unfortunately. So do we see those carries kind of start to come back down, or have we unleashed Giddens onto the world and we can't, you know, put him back? So we'll see.
Yeah, obviously it's UCF, you know, not this like powerhouse or anything like that, but even if you want to take the rushing aspect of it, I mean, he ran for 200 yards and four touchdowns. But even if you want to take the rushing aspect out of it, he had eight receptions for 86 yards. Like, I don't know if we're taking that away from him, you know? Like, so he seems to be a kind of do-it-all back. And I mean, he has workhorse size. I don't know. Like, it is mostly off of one game. Obviously, he had a big week one, but it was against Southeast Missouri State. So we're not gonna, we're not gonna freak out too much about that one. Not too much in against Troy or Missouri. But then, like you said, you know, he gets the full workload. He had 38 touches in that week four game against UCF. So, I mean, if that continues at all, then he deserves to be up here. If it doesn't, he's obviously going to drop. But as is, I mean, all we can do is go off of what has happened so far. And as is, I mean, he just literally skyrocketed up the ranks. So, like, wait a second. What year is he? how big is he? I had to go through and make all these changes.
Yeah, that's pretty crazy. And I guess another guy who's been impressing this season, I don't know if you wanted to mention him here with the top guys, but Jalen Wright, Tennessee back. And I know we mentioned him earlier, right? But I am curious how high you have him and or if you think that he could be a legit back in this class.
I don't know. Maybe it's because of the three-way split. I mean, I guess it's technically mostly a two-way split, but obviously Dylan Sampson's gotten in there as well. And maybe it's the offense kind of faltering as with Joe Milton and everything, but Wright has always kind of been in that, like, you know, he could be like a fourth round pick kind of guy for me or something like that. Like, I don't really think that he's going to be anything amazing. He seems to be like good, not great at everything. He doesn't really hit any like major thresholds for me to where I think he's going to be like a truly special running back or anything like that. So he's not in this, you know, like the top tier for me here, but he is definitely in the, like, I think he's draftable. I think he'll be there, be in the mix kind of deal. But I feel like it's more of a backup, next guy up kind of deal more than anything else.
Yeah, and that's fair. At the end of the day, Jalen Wright's probably not ever going to be that top five guy, like you said. Just because they insist on splitting carries with Jabari Small. But at the end of the day, he is so efficient, and that's with a Tennessee offense that loves to throw the ball, but he's still getting a good amount of touches, and he doesn't have that elite receiving profile. That's the one missing thing. Like, if he was actually really, really involved in the receiving game, that'd be promising. And he's just been so efficient as a runner, and you go back to high school. That's one of the reasons I really liked him as a sleeper coming out of high school, was he's so fast. Like, it's showing up now in the production and the efficiency. If you pair that with just a little bit more receiving game, who knows? It could be stock up for Jalen Wright this year.
Yeah, I agree. Like, he's in that mix, and I just really wish for both him and Sampson that they would just get rid of Jabari Small, but it just doesn't seem like it's ever going to happen, unfortunately. So we talked about Giddens, we talked about Wright there. Will Shipley, I know you've never been the biggest fan on Shipley, but you've always just kind of, well, I guess you were always, maybe you were higher on like name cachet, but you know, I don't know if you were like truly in love with the player himself or anything like that. Has anything changed for you? Do you think that he's still going to be like a top five guy in the class, or has he kind of fallen off this year for you?
No, he nothing's really changed with him, and maybe it's because this class, you know, isn't looking quite as tip top or quite as strong as some expected it to be. But yeah, just nobody's necessarily passed him. He hasn't done a lot to lose as far as like being a potential top five back in this class. But Will Shipley is solid, and that's what I've always tried to say, is that he's not necessarily special. He could get passed up if some of these guys actually had stepped up, and that hasn't really happened. So Will Shipley going to be, you know, enough size? I don't see enough people question his size compared to, let's say, like a Blake Corum. And I get it, Corum shorter, so people just anticipate that Will Shipley is going to be able to beef up. And I think that if he continues to bulk up, he's going to lose a lot of athleticism. So at the end of the day, Will Shipley's in that tough situation where I don't really want to see him 215. I'm okay with him being 200, 205, and that to maybe up to 208, you know, in that range. He's just a capable rusher, capable receiver, but he's not really doing a lot for me to make me think he's some sort of special talent out there.
Yeah, I tend to agree. And I mean, he really hasn't changed much for me at all either. Like, he's always kind of been in that, like, second tier of running backs for the class, and he's kind of just stayed that way. Now, there's a player that has moved up. I guess I've always liked, but he's moved up in the model. But I don't know if I believe it because they haven't actually played any legit teams yet. But it's Marshawn Lloyd at a USC. He's been, you know, he's been pretty damn good. 433 rushing yards, 3 touchdowns, 5 receptions, 80 yards, like yada yada. Like nothing too amazing, but I mean, he's looked pretty good. They haven't played anyone. Like they're, it's just like they haven't had a single defense actually give them any kind of issues until this past week in the second half against Colorado. So I don't know how much I truly believe it, but do you think that Lloyd should be in the mix here, or do you think that he's kind of somebody that like once the season plays itself out, they play a little tougher competition that we'll see him drop again?
Yeah, I don't know that he's necessarily going to drop a lot. I think he's played himself up into that conversation where he's going to be getting a lot of attention because USC games are heavily scouted by NFL guys, and the media is all over USC, right? They're just a fun team to keep up with, and he's the lead back. I mean, it's always been clear to me that Austin Jones was not it at all, capable, you know, plotting back, but it's just like Marshawn Lloyd, he has a little juice that is finally coming back after, you know, unfortunate injury right out of high school. He was a very good high school back. He's slowly been improving year after year since then, and finally he is back. Like you said, maybe the competition, maybe just the offensive situation is going to be a detractor for some. I still think that what he's doing at, you know, a potential workhorse size is notable. I like him. I've always liked him in the class, so nothing's necessarily changed there. I think I have him as like a top 8-9 guy currently in the 24 class.
I like it. I think he might drop a little bit, but I don't think he's going to fall off because he's always been kind of up there for me, just not nearly as high as he is right now. And so that's why I wonder if he might drop off a little bit. And another player that's very similar to that is Ray Davis that you touched on earlier. One huge game against Florida, and then nothing else like truly standing out, for him there. But I guess we've always liked Ray, but I don't know that I ever had him this high, and you know, especially for a fifth year player here. But man, like he is completely blown up. Almost 600 yards rushing. Obviously, a lot of that had to do with this past game against Florida. 8 touchdowns, actually 11 touchdowns, including receiving. So, I mean, he's having a big year. What do you think of Ray Davis? Do you think he's too old? Do you think it's a flash in the pan, or do you believe it here?
I mean, the guy, his entire career, whether it was at Temple, at Vanderbilt, I mean, he's been sub 5 for his yards per carry, and he's never been that explosive or efficient necessarily as a receiving back. I guess you go back to his very freshman year, and that's what got everybody so excited when he went for, you know, almost 1,000 yards rushing, and he was involved as a receiver. And then he's really taken a step back, and he's a fifth year guy. Like you said, he's a little bit older, and I've always been a little bit concerned as far as like, is the guy just a little bit too big? Like, is he too rocked up, and is that going to affect his speed? Because I do value speed, and I think the NFL very much does so as well. Like, good backs have got really faded and never really much of an opportunity just because they're just slightly too slow. And I'm not calling him slow because obviously what he's doing this season, you can't be slow and average what he's averaged for Kentucky and against SEC defenses and whatnot. But Ray Davis, another guy where I question that top end athleticism, and maybe he just suddenly got extremely fast and, you know, did it naturally. Not accusing anybody of steroids or anything, but I don't get it. I really do not. I'm just kidding, Ray. If you're listening to the Devi devotional, do not hold that against me, 'cause I was just kidding. So.
And we're talking about you in the big name grouping, so you should be happy with us. But I don't know if I can believe it. I mean, even like against Vanderbilt, he averaged 4.6 a clip. Eastern Kentucky, 4.3 a clip. Ball State, 8 a clip. Then Akron, 10.3. And then Florida, 10.8. It's just like something happened against Florida. I don't know what it was. So we just really have to see if it continues on. another name that like has always been kind of in the mix, but never just truly up here this high. But you were talking about athleticism, so why don't we get to the athletic guys? And of course, we have to talk about Bucky Irving. I know the C2C boys, who you have now become, don't want to acknowledge Bucky Irving's existence, but are you going to buck that trend? Ooh, buck that trend.
Nothing has really changed for me on Bucky Irving. Like I'm right in, I'm the middle man. Like I said earlier, he's still not really a top 10 guy for me in this class as is right now at that size. I guess. Yeah, I got nothing else there. Like Bucky, he's so fun. It's 190 pounds. And people start saying like, well, Devin Achane did it. And he's, you know, sub 200, and Devin Achane's like, like not an Olympic, but like the next level down as far as a sprinter goes, though he was a little bit more of like a 200 guy. So Devin Achane, it's not like he was like the most elite in the 100 yard, which is actually probably more useful for NFL and college players versus a 200 where you have to build up speed. But nobody wants to hear about track right now. At the end of the day, Bucky Irving, he is what he is. Like, he's a very versatile back, capable receiver. I think he's a Kenny Gainwell, and you can take that as a good thing, as the guy who beat out DeAndre Swift for a couple quarters this season and was going to be a feature guy for a couple quarters this season. And maybe there is a path for him getting more and more touches at the NFL level if the situation hits right.
So I'm going to completely ignore the Kenny Gainwell thing, and I'm just going to focus on, I'm pretty sure I heard you say the Bucky Irving is faster than Devin Achane, or Devon Achane, I should say. So yeah, we're just going to focus on that and leave that there. I have him as a top seven back in the class, and I always will. He's my baby. What can I say? Anybody who doesn't is just a hater. That is the truth. But a player that has not always been in the top seven, but absolutely is now. I've liked him, but we needed to see more, and it was Jonathan Brooks. I think we've seen everything that we've needed to see to move him up into the top seven, top six, top five of the class. How are you feeling about Brooks there?
Yeah. I mean, it's bold when you look at, you know, where he's been ranked even recently by a lot of sites out there, but I like it. He's been a guy that you and I have talked about for a long time. I would like to think that I was one of the earlier guys on him, just because, I mean, I've always thought he was good going back to the high school level, where he was dominant in Texas, and just a matter of being kind of squirreled away on that Texas roster behind some very big name guys, and nobody really took him serious. They're like, Baxter's gonna come in and be the guy. And don't get me wrong, like if Brooks would have missed some games, you know, completely early on in the season, maybe we would be dealing with a different reality where Baxter is the lead guy. But I don't think Baxter's ready for that. Brooks definitely is, and you're seeing him dominate regardless of the competition. I mean, against Alabama, he wasn't dominating, but he was holding his own against future NFL defenders. So I like the fact that he's been able to be efficient as a rusher. His receiving game, you know, it is what it is to this point. He's not extremely involved, but that doesn't mean he can't do it at all. He does need to pick that up, because I've thought like, oh, Aaron Jones is a great comp for him. And then you look at the receiving game and yeah, is that a great comp? I'm not sure.
That's a great point. He doesn't have much in the receiving game. He also doesn't have the best quarterback throwing it to him. So, you know, maybe we can, you know, help him out there, get him Arch in the second half of the season. But yeah, I would like to see a little bit more out of him, but I think he's proven that he's a great running back at the very least. And like I said, I think he should be in the mix there, top five, top six-ish in the class. And then obviously, the biggest riser for literally everyone except for me, Audric Estime. He's always been a mid-tier guy for you. What are we feeling now? Audric Estime, RB1 in the class?
Well, I will say that Audric Estime has to move up into the big dogs group, right? I mean, now, am I talking like Trevion Henderson, who I have him and Braylon Well, let's not jump the gun there. Let's not talk about the biggest of the guys there. But literally big guys, Audric Estime, just a beast, a tank, and he's athletic at that size, which is impressive. I never thought he was that fast. In fact, he's improved since coming out of high school, straight up. Because, I mean, you go back and you watch that film and you compare it to now, you're like, this is that guy, huh? This is the same dude. So Audric Estime, what he's done and finally been able to get that lead role, things have opened up and he's just taken full advantage, which I love. So, you know, anybody who was thinking, he's just like an AJ Dillon type of player, like he's more than that. So you got to give him credit where credit's due. Give you credit for being able to identify that he's a good player. And sometimes things break right. We talked early in the podcast about if you really like a guy, let's say like an incoming freshman or something like that, and you're like, hey, he's blocked, you know, Logan Diggs was at Notre Dame as well, right? Well, things usually open up. If there's just too many good guys there, usually they don't all stay. One will branch off, one will transfer out, get injured, maybe become irrelevant, whatever the case is. But Estime has weathered the storm and been a stud.
I agree. Estime kicked all those guys out, and he is the man. I will completely admit, like, he something has changed in his game that he is more explosive this year than he was last year. Because as much as I loved Estime, I never had him in the top tier. He didn't have that in his game. He seems to have it in his game this year. And honestly, he's moved into the top tier for me. I think that, you know, we were considering him like a third or a fourth round kind of guy, you know, in the offseason, beginning of the season, whatever. I feel like we're starting to get into the mix where we could get like a second round pick out of them. Do you think that's crazy, or do you think that's a possibility here?
No, I don't think it's crazy at all. I think the NFL might see that as a possibility for sure. It takes just one team. So do I think that most teams would do it? No. Do I think most teams should draft a running back even that early? Who's not like an elite guy? No. So yeah, I don't really have a lot more to add with Estime other than he's been a stud this season. Something has, you're right, changed. He's just developed his game and improved.
I agree. And so then we get to like the big three, the big names that have been there basically the whole time. And we have, you know, Rocket Sanders, Trevion Henderson, and then Braylon Allen. In any particular order, they've all been called the number one RB in the class at some point. And you know, where are you coming up with? Obviously, Rocket hasn't been on the field very much after he gained some weight, and then didn't look right after, you know, in week one. Trevion's kind of come back to form after a completely down sophomore season, and then Braylon Allen's kind of had this weird season where he's the backup, or he's not quite the workhorse, but yet he's really damn good when he's on the field. It's so like none of them had like the perfect career here, but I think we, you know, generally speaking, like everyone is just like, yeah, these are the top three. These are the guys.
Yeah, it's been a little bit messy amongst those guys, but by no means am I going to panic sell. I don't advise anybody to usually do that. And Trevion Henderson, I talked about him just briefly earlier, where it hasn't been ideal, but at the same time, he's still a very explosive kid. Very fun. And maybe similar to Saquon Barkley in some ways, where you see that, you know, injuries have kind of hampered the effectiveness, and you hope that that doesn't transfer over to the NFL level. Sometimes those guys can be effective a few years in a row, and then we start to falsely or just inaccurately label them as injury prone, things like that. So don't want to go to the extremes on Henderson. But yeah, I mean, those injuries make you a little bit concerned, and the concerns with Braylon Allen, I think, are overblown. I don't know what the coaching staff has been trying to feel out there, but just know that he's been good. And the Raheem Sanders talked earlier about the injury and coming in overweight. And he's a guy that I'm not actually very confident in at this point, as far as like being in that top tier, but I never was. And that was one of the things that I never thought he sucked. It's just, I didn't quite have him there. So I guess I'm still there on him and those guys like Braylon Allen. So Braylon Allen has jumped him now. For me.
Yeah, I mean, they both have. I mean, Trevion Henderson was always number one for me. That really hasn't changed. Allen, is really the riser, I guess, if anything. And then, like you said, Rocket has been kind of a faller. I guess I did have I had Rocket there in the top tier for a while, but with what he's done this year so far, it just hasn't been great. I'm hoping he can be back. I guess he was back this past week, right? But he just maybe he had a small workload, or you know, trying to get him back in, get him acclimated, all that kind of stuff. So we just really need to see him get back to health and show that he still has burst and you know, athleticism at that new size. Because that is a little concerning, especially when you start getting hurt, you start doing things. It's like, did you get too big? Do you need to slim down just a little bit? But I guess we'll keep our fingers crossed and just hope that things can get kind of back to form. But was there anyone else in this 24 class that you truly believe needs to be thrown out there before we get out of here? The funny thing is, we talked about doing like a quick pod because I kind of got a late start and everything, and then here we are right around an hour and a half as usual.
Well, you know, might as well save the best for last, and this is admittedly not the guy that I think is best, but Devin Neal, Kansas. And you know, I'm coming around to him. I've had the same type of attitude towards him as I have had for Will Shipley, however. So, excuse me, nothing's necessarily changed. I've always had Neal a little bit lower than Shipley, but felt the same way of like, you know, are they special players and things like that? But Neal has naturally risen this season. And I do think that he displays maybe more of an NFL frame than Will Shipley. So there's that. But Neal has been very, very solid for Kansas, and they seem just content running this weird committee where, you know, Neal is definitely the best back of that group, but they just want to roll that out. So he's not going to get like the insane volume to put up like a Heisman type of, you know, campaign, or, you know, not something that extreme, but he's not going to be the best running back in all of college football with that limited volume. But even though it's limited, I mean, there's still plenty to show that he can carry a good load. But what do you think about Devin Neal? Like, does he belong in the top 10 in this class?
I think he belongs in the top 10. The only reason why I didn't bring him up is because they really like they started out their season playing Texas. He had 45 yards rushing and 10 yards receiving on two catches. Then they played BYU, 91 yards, Nevada, 90 yards, Illinois, 120 yards, Missouri State, 94 yards. Like, I kind of don't know what to believe at this point, because the only quality team that they played was Texas, and he had 50 yards rushing, you know. So I'm like, I don't know. I don't know if it's believable or not. So that's why, like, he is pretty high in the model right now, but once again, it's one of those where I kind of think that it's going to come down when it's all said and done. But I do believe he probably should be right around top 10. I would kind of assume that, like, maybe I don't know. I'm trying to like think of where I would put him, but yeah, top 10, top 12 probably seems about it, right?
Yeah. I mean, I think he could be as high as 5. Honestly, I think he could be rising that high, but then yeah, you're right. He could drop down even lower. And I will say that even though, you know, Texas, you're right, that's the only top, you know, 5 team in the nation that he's played. There's not even another ranked team from that group. Well, Kansas also is not like this high-end team either, right? So when you say BYU, that's actually a pretty tough matchup for Kansas, or at least, you know, a solid one. And same with Illinois. You know, Illinois is no pushover on defense. So one of those things where, you know, the fact that he looked at least solid in those games while splitting touches, again, it makes me frustrated that he doesn't get that full workload, because we would be saying something different if he received an extra 5 carries and a couple extra receptions per game. I think that would make a big difference in a model, or just when you're just looking at the analytical production thus far. But he is a pretty fun player for sure.
Yeah, it just bothers me because Daniel Hishaw, whatever hell his name is basically matching him like step for step, you know, like 6.8 yards per carry, 4 touchdowns to 5 touchdowns, but on less, you know, less carries. It's just like, man, it's hard to get overly excited about Neal when his when his teammate is basically doing exactly the same thing that he's doing. And so when I add it all up, like, I like Neal. I've always, you know, once again, he's always been one of those players that's kind of in the mix, but not like those top tier guys. And so I just don't, like, he's kind of near the top tier now in the model, and I just don't know if I really want to believe it.
Yeah. And that is a fair concern and good thing to mention, especially if you have like that teammate score that you've talked about before too, which factors in what is he doing compared to his backfield mates, for example. And the interesting thing about Highshot is, I mean, he has looked good too for Kansas, but he's 180 some pounds. So actually he's this like super speedy guy who's going to have that high yards per carry. He's going to be efficient, but he's never going to be a workhorse type guy. So I do think that, you know, that's going to make Highshot look like he's great and whatnot. And he's just a fresh, fast guy who's coming in there and ripping things up for Kansas. So hopefully that gives Neal owners a little bit of explanation for why another guy in that backfield has been looking good versus like McDuffie, who's, you know, been a decent enough college back in the past, has been a little bit more middling when he's also received carries for Kansas. But that's probably enough time talking about a Kansas running back, huh?
Yeah, that's more than anyone has ever talked about a Kansas running back. But I think we did a pretty good job of covering everything. How are you feeling overall about the 2024 running back class? I mean, I don't think that too much has changed. Obviously, some names have jumped into it. Some names have dropped out, like we talked about before. But, you know, I guess, you know, comparatively to the 2023, you know, how are you feeling with the two classes there?
You know, I am fine with this class. Right now, it seems like we're in that panic mode of saying, oh, wow, this running back class is actually kind of mid, pretty average. And I don't think that's the case. I think it's a solid running back class. How do I think it compares to last year? I mean, you know, Bijan is just a step ahead, honestly, from like the guys that we're seeing in this class. But that doesn't make Trevion Henderson special in his own right. Very talented back, and some of these other top guys, I think, figure things out as they get healthy, as they get acclimated to new systems, and or as they begin their pre-draft process and training and athletic testing and all that. So ultimately, don't panic sell all your 2024 picks in dynasty leagues. Don't panic sell some of these top guys if you still, you know, believe in them. And I'm not trying to make anybody, I guess, second guess their rostership of Braylon Allen or Raheem Sanders. But I mean, I guess take a deep look and think, you know, do you really believe in them, or can you still get top dollar? But chances are people are, you know, all over the place on them in your leagues. So again, feel that out if you are considering a move. But you look ahead to the 2025 class, you look at the running back landscape and Devy as a whole, and it's not super clean, honestly. Like Nick Singleton, Quinshon Judkins, those guys got their holes. After that, in the 25 class, it's wide open for guys to emerge there. And 2026 is so unproven to this point. It's like, if you're pivoting off of these running backs, make sure you're getting some of the elite or very top end wide receiver talent, and or just a really big haul in NFL assets, or if you're selling for picks, I mean, it's got to be a huge haul for sure. But yeah, those are my quick thoughts on the running back scene as a whole. A little bit messy, but there's ways to navigate it, and hopefully some of the guys today are helpful targets or fades for you.
Yeah, it gets even more scary when you think about the fact that, you know, we're not even like overly in love with the class, and then when you think about what's going on in the NFL, and you know, there's so many splits and you know, split backfields and players not being used correctly and all that kind of stuff, it gets even more scary, because it's like, you know, what if a Braylon Allen goes, and I mean, once again, I don't want to compare the players, but you know, they get thrown into the same conversation all the time, but like, what if Braylon Allen goes and has to sit behind another running back like a Derrick Henry did, you know, and it takes 2 or 3 years before he truly gets his shot? You know, it's definitely a possibility. Or, you know, what if he gets on the field right away, but the team only uses him as a first and second down grinder, like that kind of thing. You know, there's so many different things that can and possibly will happen that it scares the crap out of me. I traded for Rocket Sanders in a Devy league, And at the time, it seemed like I was making the best decision I'd ever made, you know, and I was going to have, because I also got Bijan in the deal. So I got Bijan from this year, and then I was thinking I got Rocket from next year, like at least top three running back, if not even higher than that, from both classes. And then now it's like, I don't know if it's as exciting. Oh, I still have Bijan, so it's not the end of the world. But yeah, it's just, it's a little scary.
It is. And you look at the NFL landscape and maybe you say, well, some of these backs that we thought were maybe on the edge of you know, losing their jobs are more safe than we thought. Like, you know, maybe Ramondre has another year for the Patriots, and, you know, maybe Mixon hangs around and somehow has a job again this next season for the Bengals. And you kind of go down the list and say that, okay, maybe more jobs are safe than we thought. So it's a useful exercise for applying that to the dynasty landscape too. But know that there are still some guys in this class who could come in and take a job and factor in as a high end, maybe a 1B to an offense too. We can't underrate that. You mentioned the idea nowadays that the NFL is trying to have these split backfields, and they're trying to infuse some young talent mixed with maybe the old talent too at the running back position. So no doubt there's guys here that can play a role at the NFL level.
Absolutely. All right. Well, that's enough from us. Hopefully you guys enjoyed that. It was fun diving into the running backs. Like I said, it's not something that I've heard too many people like doing deep dives on, just because there's so much changing, even weekly, and definitely since the off season, there's been some major changes. But we appreciate you guys listening. We're glad to be back. Congrats, Aaron, on getting married since the last time that we talked and podded. It was great, you know, flying up there and being with you guys and everything. That was awesome. I got to be in Minnesota and Wisconsin for the first time. So that was fun. And got to have way too many old fashions at the wedding. So that was also fun.
What was fun having you. Thanks for doing that. And yes, great opportunity. What do you think of Minnesota versus Wisconsin?
Which one? I stayed in Wisconsin, and I had to actually drive to Minnesota to go to the beach. But it was literally a 4-minute drive. So I guess I would say that I enjoyed Minnesota more because that's where I did all the drinking, partying, and beaching. Whereas Wisconsin, I was like in like a train yard. It was in a very industrial part. So I did not see any much beauty in Wisconsin.
That's fair.
All right, well, enough of us. I appreciate you guys listening. We will be back in your ears in a couple weeks talking about something to do with Devi or C2C. Until then, we're going to go ahead and cash out. See you.